So Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for your anointing already on your word. And God, I pray that you give us ears to hear what you would say to us this morning. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? So we talked about last week, we talked about, let me just say this, we started this series called Church Realigned, and sometimes you need to go to that chiropractor, right, and get kind of realigned and get all those bones straightened back up, because sometimes through life, like things get out of alignment, right? And so we talked, so the idea is that there are some things that we need as a church, you know, kind of globally and kind of local right here, that we need to get kind of realigned. So let's dream, if you will, right? Let's dream. Like, what if the church was exactly the way Jesus intended it? What would that look like? What would that be like? And so we talked last week about what matters most. So if Jesus were to walk in and he would have just a few things to say, I believe he would say exactly what he said when those people came up to him and said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Right? He said, Jesus replied, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. What would the church look like? What would be the thing that would identify this body right in here and globally as followers of Jesus? It's this one thing. Love. Above all the cool miracles that we see, of all the cool answers to prayer, they would see one thing, love. That would be the primary thing that people would see. Matter of fact, Jesus said it like this. He said, they'll know that you're my disciples because of the way you love each other. Just each other. Like in this room. The local body, right? The worldwide body of believers. He said, they'll know you're my disciples because of the way you love each other. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians. He says, make love your aim. That's your goal. That's our goal as a believer. We talked about the big deal of God is love. It's not your accomplishments. It's not your achievements. It's not your fame. It's not your wealth. It's the way we love God and the way we love other people. That's it. He says, make that your aim. Make that your goal. And so we talked about, so what does that look like? And what does that look like? How does we work that out in everyday life? And y'all graced me 2 weeks ago. Oh, it wasn't last week. 2 weeks ago. With letting me draw for you. And notice I do not have another thing up here. But we did make the thing up here. The script, 1 John 3:18 says, dear children, let us love, not with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And so here we have, who is this? This is Sally. This was Sad Sally. With a sorry ex-husband. Remember we talked about that last week. That doesn't pay his child support. And she's all alone. And she's barely making it. Right? And she needs, but she can't pay for child support for her little cute little baby with the little heart on her shirt and a little bow. She can't pay for the daycare and her rent, right? She can't pay for both. She's going, and so what does she do? She prays, God, help me, right? God, help me. And then we have down the street, there's Gail. Say hi, Gail. Gail is saying, God, use me. I want to be your, you know, like that old song, I want to be your hands. I want to be your feet. I want to be your hands. I want to be your feet, right? I want to do what God you've asked me to do. So she prays. Sally prays. God hears. The direction comes from God. So Sally and Gail, they meet. We talked about how we made this little story up. That Sally and Gail meet as they're both walking in their neighborhood. And they start developing a conversation, and Gail finds out about Sally's situation. Sally's situation. Sad Sally's situation. So she finds out, and God speaks to her heart about something to do. And God speaks to her direction from heaven, right? Direction from heaven. This is what I would ask you to do. And the direction maybe in this case was, hey, why don't you watch her child during the day? Because you're a stay-at-home mom. Why don't you watch your child during the day? Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute, God. Like, I'm inviting some neighbor's kid into my home? Like, I don't know about this. But the very thing that we pray for, God, use us. God gives us direction. And the thing is, will we be obedient to what God asks us to do? Because this is the way a lot of time it works. Somebody prays for God to help. God sends direction to one of us. Because you know why? We talked about it. Because we're anointed to go about and do good and heal all those who are oppressed of the devil. Just like Jesus. Right? Because we've been anointed. Say, I am anointed to do good and to heal all those who are oppressed of the devil. That's right. You are. I'm anointed. Say it again. I'm anointed. I'm anointed. But our anointing goes with our obedience to do what God asks us to do. So all of a sudden, God answers Sally's prayer through Gail, through you, through me, through our obedience to what God's asked us to do. And sorry about that, Jesus. That's the best stick-figure Jesus I could find. So I want to talk about our part two. Is how does that look like inside these four walls? Like, what does that look like as our church? Can we dream a little bit? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says this: therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good. There it is again, do good to everyone, and especially to the family of faith. Everybody say especially. Especially. Especially to the family of faith. So when I started feeling impressed to go and plant this church, there's all kind of churches that you can have, right? There's all different flavors of churches. And so as we began to go, God, what would you have for us? What do you have for this church that we're about to set out and plant with our, whatever we had, 10 or so people to plant Hope Church? What do you have for us? And God spoke these words to me. I remember right where I was. And I was actually walking through my bedroom. And I wasn't even really thinking about it at that moment, but God dropped this phrase into my heart. He said, David, I want you to create a community of hope. I said, okay. And in that, you know how God speaks to you, and in those words that he speaks to you, there's this whole ocean of what that means, right? So what that meant inside was that, hey, look, let's not have a pastor-centered church. Let's have a community-centered church that we all look after each other. And all the needs aren't met by one person. And I'll be honest. When I heard that, I was like, amen. I'm down. Jesus, I'm down with that. And to look for a church, listen, I wrote this down. If you're looking for a church that celebrates the pastor as the man of God, and he's the one that hears from God, and he's the one that can pray, and he's the one that can do all this stuff, you've come to the wrong church. And I want to read you a scripture, and I want you to understand, what my job is. Am I a pastor? Am I anointed? Yes. Am I anointed to be a pastor? Yes, I'll boldly say it. Whom God calls, he equips. And you're like, man, that's Eric. No, that's just the way it is. You're called. You're called. And you're anointed, right? But listen to this calling. Ephesians chapter 4. It says this in verse 11. He says, so Christ himself gave, he's talking about the ministry gifts. He gave apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. To do what? To equip the people for the work of service. So that the body of Christ, watch this, the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of faith. This is what the church is supposed to look like. Until we all reach the unity of faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow in every respect, to the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. You hear that? For Him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I want you to see what our responsibility, everybody has a part to play in all this. We all have a part to play in this thing we call church. And let me just say, church is not an event. Church is not an event. Church is a people. Church is a people. We are the church of God. Look at your neighbor and go, you are the church. Look at the person. Look at this person, the other person on the other side needs it a little bit more aggressively. Say, you are the church. See, there you go. Come on. You are the church. Now watch this. It says, so our job, like take Tyrone. Tyrone, we all know, we don't have to put a label on him. Tyrone is an evangelist. Everybody said amen. If you know Tyrone, say amen. Amen. Tyrone is an evangelist. One of his jobs is to do the work of an evangelist. Amen. Another part of his job is to teach a class on Saturday morning on how you can be an evangelist. You can do the work of an evangelist. Right? Paul tells Timothy, who wasn't really an evangelist, he said, do the work of an evangelist. Right? So Tyrone's going to teach us how to effectively share our faith and impart the things that God's imparted him to us so that we can be better about winning the people that we know and love and how do we share our faith. Amen? So that's part of his job. So part of a job of a pastor or a teacher is that we equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Listen, I don't know if you read that correctly. It's not about the pastor. It's about the body of Christ being what the body of Christ is called to be. Well, what is it called to be? We just read it. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. He gave himself apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Go ahead, keep going. Next. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Watch this. For edifying the body of Christ. That's what it's for. Till we all come to the unity of faith. What are we called to be? Unified. To bring unity. When you think of churches, what do you think? Like when you think of church splits and church disappointments and church, what does it have to do with? Disunity. Well, somebody said this about me and made me mad. We changed the color of the carpet and we just thought it was crazy. We all left. Like, you know, so we have to always be working on unity in our church. We have to always, and listen, the enemy will come and try to cause disunity in our church. And we need to understand, we need to fight it. Amen? That's what God's called us. He wants us to be unified. What is the next thing He's called us to do? He says that we may be built up till we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son and become what? Mature. Maturity is not for church leadership and church leadership alone. Maturity is for all of us. That we are all called to be mature, to be people of faith, to be people of strong faith, to be people who know God. Like it says, the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. Like you, me, all of us, we're called to be mature believers. And so for so long, we have put that on some passing through evangelist or a passing through guy that he's anointed. You know, we look at him. Man, we need to flip that whole mindset and you are anointed. Right? And I will, listen, let me just back up a little bit. If you send people to me, But I will help them the best way I can. And you can, please do it. But listen, I'm just one person. And that's not God's best. God's best is we're all mature. We're all anointed. I was so grateful. We went to a conference yesterday to, and let me just brag. We went to a conference yesterday on how to better pray over people and minister to other people. It was fantastic. And we had like 10 or 11 people from our church, like 12 people from our church show up. So let me applaud you. Like, let me back up and say, this, I'm not correcting anything in our church. This is what God's called us to be at Hope Church. This is who God's called us and mandated us to be, right? I don't know about the other churches around here. I'm not really concerned about the other people, although I am meeting with different pastors and kind of sharing the vision of what God's given us. And they go, man, that's exactly what. I met a pastor yesterday from Resurgence Church down in Smyrna. And I was kind of just briefly sharing. I've got my elevator speech like you're supposed to have, right? Amen? And I told him, this is what our vision is. This is who we are as a church. And he goes, we need the fellowship. That's exactly what God's called us to be. And I'm meeting other. I met a new pastor. The pastor who took the church that I was looking at down the street and right there. And I met him. And he was going, we started, y'all all know that church because y'all all saw. But we saw, so we're like, I met with him. I go, first thing out of my mouth, I'm a little mad at you because you stole my building. He's kind of laughed. But anyway, but he's a great guy. And I started sharing our vision. He goes, man, we need to fellowship more because that's what exactly. It's like, but God is doing something in the body of Christ. And so, but we're called to be mature. We're also called that we would attain the fullness of Christ, that you and I would attain the fullness of Christ. Right? And look, in verse 15, it says this, instead, speaking the truth in love, that we all become, in every respect, mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, let me just back up. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow and become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head. Who is that? The pastor? No. Jesus is the head. Jesus is the head. My job as a pastor is to hear what God wants me to do and execute that and move that, right? And help us to all grow into that vision that God's called for us. Making the aim love, right? Making our goal the way we love and how we treat each other. So it's Jesus is the head, right? We are exactly what He wants us to be. Now watch this. This is where it gets cool. Like, it's all cool, Lord. Yeah, thank you. It says, watch this. From whom, put this up for a second. From whom the whole body, watch this, joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective work, by every part does its share, causing the growth of the body for the edifying of itself. Right? Read that. Actually, that's not the version I had. That's not the version I had. But it says the same thing. But let me read it in this translation. Instead, he says this, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ, from Him the old body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, watch this, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work. How are we supposed to support each other? If we're a body and we're all like ligaments, that's kind of a crazy, kind of gross analogy, but we're all ligaments. We support each other. And by doing your part, what does it say? We support each other. We do the work for each other. That changes your whole mindset about how you come to church on a Sunday morning. How you come in fellowship with the body of believers on a Sunday morning. Like, I'm just going to say it. Not we, other churches, right? Not, of course, not us. Not us. Listen, we have been flooded with the me gospel. With the me gospel. It is all about me. Let me tell you about all the goodness of God that is for me. And God is good for me. Do you understand? You know why God wants you healed, restored, and rescued? So to be a blessing for other people. To be a healed person so that you can go about and be a part of God's original design is that we all link together as a body of believers, each one supporting each other. Right? You know the Bible says, He says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. I remember going through my own trouble in my life and just big deals. I mean, just some things that need to be healed in my life. And I remember going, God, you can do it. You can do it, God. Just heal me, God. Heal me, God. And I read that scripture. I said, wait a minute. God, who's doing the healing here? Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. That means there's a part that I have to play with somebody else involved. And God spoke to me this. David, there's some things I will not heal unless you go to somebody else because that's the way I designed it. We are all part of an amazing body of believers. And as each one does their part, what is your part? I don't know what your part is. God knows what your part is. He'll help you and do whatever he's got to do to get that information to you, and he will direct you and lead you. But it changes, let me back up a little bit, it changes how you walk into a church. It's no longer, I'm at church, here I am. Here I am, I'm at church. David said, it's me and Jesus. Right? So it's me and Jesus. And it's me and Jesus are going to leave. Me and Jesus. What if we change that mindset? How many of you have come to church? This is so preachy right here. I'm going to do it anyway. How many of y'all have come to church and you've like, man, I have a need in my life. And man, I just need God to just speak to me today. And just how many of y'all have come to church like that? Come on. Come on. Wow, like six of you. It's amazing. Like, we've all done it, right? We've all come to church and go, man, I need to go be with, like, I need to go worship, get my praise on this morning, right? I need to go. And, like, that's all right, and that's all good. But what if we walked into church knowing that every Sunday we come in, somebody's going to be like that? What if we came into our church with the attitude, it's not an attitude, it's not about me. It's not about here I am. It's about there you are. There you are. God, are you speaking to me about anybody this morning? Is there anybody that needs prayer this morning? Because most people won't ask for it. Amen? But what if we became a body of believers that we supported each other when somebody was going through a mess? Let me just brag, because she's not here. Let me just say, she'll listen to this. She always listens to the podcast. But I'm going to say, Alina, I love you. But when Alina came to our church, she had a mess of a home. There's a lot of stuff I don't want to go into, but it was bad. And our youth group, she came in, and our youth group loved her, accepted her. They brought her right into the group, didn't judge her. She didn't believe all right, but they didn't judge her. And they brought her in, and what you should hear her a couple of Sunday nights ago tell her testimony. She goes, if it wasn't for that, I don't know where I would be, with tears in her eyes. And now, listen, she's got a job. She's got her permit. She's getting her license. My wife is teaching her how to drive. Pray for my wife. Actually, she's doing fantastic. She's doing really well. And she's moving forward. Her dream, what she wants, is to be in the Air Force. So she saw a recruiter, and she's got some things she needs to do for before she goes in. But she's moving forward in her life. And you know why that happened? Because of Pastor David and Julie? No. It happened because of these guys right here. I'm not even kidding. Because of these guys right here. Who love somebody enough who looked different than they did, who acted different than they did, loved them right where they're at, and watched God through God's amazing. Did God do the work? Absolutely. Through them. And through the preaching of the word. And through the love of the saints. And because of you guys who extended love towards her. Tyrone came to our church. How many of y'all remember when Tyrone was, how many of y'all were around when Tyrone first started coming to church? Everybody was like, some of y'all were like, okay, we're going to do this church thing. Here we go. But you should hear his testimony about how God, how we accepted him right where he was at. I remember, he doesn't mind me telling the story. I remember the time when he had missed some, a payment for his, probation. And he had to go back to jail for like a long time. And do you know, when he got out of jail, we all went down there at like 1 o'clock in the morning when he was being released. And he, when he walked out of that jail, there was like 20 people from Hope Church standing out there cheering him and excited about him when he came out. Let me tell you something. That's the church. That's the church. And God used that to continue to, I mean, you understand, he is not going where he's going in his life today without the body of believers supporting him and encouraging him and helping him through some really dark times in his life. That's the church. That's what we're called to do. As each one, you see how that works? Each one does their part to support them. You don't have to be, listen, you don't have to be a theologian to meet somebody when they get out of jail. You don't have to be a theologian to go love somebody in a lobby. Like, why do we do Sunday morning? Why do we do breakfast? You want me to tell you why we do breakfast? Because we want to feed you? No, listen, this is why we do breakfast. I hate to break it to you. Because you know what? It's easier to talk to somebody if you have something in your hand. It's really that simple. If you have some food, if you have coffee in your hand, it is easier to talk to somebody than you're just like, it's just natural. Right? It's easier to be a part. We have fellowship. That's why the men's meeting, when we do men's meeting, what do? For like the first half an hour? Well, you're wasting all of that teaching time. No, we're not. We're building relationships around a grill. Because that's what dudes do. It's about relate. Why do we waste a whole Sunday for Lake Day? Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? Have we forgotten what it's all about? It's about interpersonal relating to each other, building relationships, building friendships. The last thing we want you to do, listen, and some people may slip, and we're doing our best. Understand, please give us grace, because we're all fallible. Amen? We're all working on this. So have grace with all of us. Have grace with the person sitting next to you. Have grace with the person sitting far away from you. Have grace for other people. But it is our desire, our hope, that Hope Church would be a place of relationships and friendships, because that's the way it's supposed to be. Discipleship, let me say this, I've said it over and over again. Discipleship happens best in relationships, period. Discipleship happens best in relationships. This is really good. I can encourage you. I can build you up. And we can launch you off into what God has for you on a Sunday morning. But discipleship happens best in relationships. Because when was that time that you were like, most messages, quite honestly, you're going to forget. As good as I am. You'll forget them. But you know what you won't forget? The time I needed some encouragement, and Mike came and encouraged me. The time that the time somebody you needed somebody to believe in you, and they believed in you. That's what you remember, and it happens in relationships. You say, "Man, we're having another Bible study. Why do we need another night to meet?" Relationships. Because she's doing a Bible study called what?
Not alone.
Not alone. We're called to do this life together. Do this life in friendship. Do this thing. It says, encourage one another daily. As you see, so you will not fall into the temptations of this world. It says, do not forsake the fellowshipping of yourself together when you see all this crazy stuff going on. That's the David translation. Our world, wow. So you know what you need? Don't neglect your fellowship of together. Don't neglect coming together as a body. Because if you don't need it that Sunday, somebody else needs you that Sunday. Amen? So God said, David, create a community of hope. And I said, I don't want to call it Hope Community Church. He says, you don't have to. I said, good. But that's who we are. You want to know the real name of what God's called us to be? Of hope. And who gives hope? Who gives hope? Through who? You. Who gives hope? David gives hope. Brian gives hope. Wesley gives hope. Robert gives hope. Michelle gives hope. You give hope because we're a community. It doesn't just come from the pastor. Listen. Is this thing on? Am I being recorded? I'm so done. I'm done with a superstar man of God guy that everybody goes to and goes. He's the only guy you can get prayer from because he's the only person. I remember I heard this, and I'll say this and I'll shut up. Oh, I'll have one more story after that. But I'll say this. I remember this guy. I was at Rhema. It was all about Kenneth Hagin and all that stuff, and it was really great. But I remember this guy used to answer the phone. He used to answer the prayer line. And this is, he told me, he said, this is exactly what happens. He picks up the phone line and goes, hey man, all right. Hey man. But he goes, hey, this is your prayer partner. How can I pray for you today? And he says, can I speak to Brother Hagin? Brother Hagin's not here, but I'll be glad to pray with you today. Well, okay. All right, well, blah, blah, blah. Trouble, difficulties. Blah, blah, blah. All right, hey, and then he goes, all right, let's pray. We pray a prayer of faith. We believe God, you know, when we pray, God hears us when we pray, and God shows up and moves. Amen. All right, amen, let's go. All right, well, I appreciate it, but could you pass that on to Brother Hagin? We're just babies. Because not only that they didn't believe God heard them when they pray, they didn't believe God heard him when he prayed. As a matter of fact, the only person they believe hears God when they pray is Brother Hagin. Guys, we're so far from where God's called us to be. I remember, how's this work out? I won't even pick up my notes anymore. Worship team, just go ahead and come up before I keep preaching forever. I'm so off my notes. But listen, you know why it's off my notes? Because it's in me. It's in me. Of who we're called to be. I remember my sisters. There was a time several years back, my sisters and I weren't mad at each other. We just didn't talk to each other a lot. You know, anybody have people? Yeah. Don't? Yeah, okay. I just didn't talk to him a lot. I loved him. Just didn't talk to him a lot. My mom was an Alzheimer's patient up in up 85 towards South Carolina. And somebody, we'll just say somebody, would email us and literally cuss us out because we didn't go see our mom like as much as they thought we should. Like evil things. I love my mom. I'd go see my mom, but it wasn't enough for them, right? Some of you have dealt with that. And the guilt that's there already, that's already there. That you have your life, you're doing your life, you're doing your best you can to balance. We were pastoring the church. We were, you know, we were starting the church. We're pouring every moment into launching the church. And we're like, oh my God. And he would spew this garbage, straight from the pit of hell. I mean, cuss us out. You're worthless kids. You don't love your mom. You don't blah, just going off. And he sent it to all of us. You know what we did? Me and my sisters, we came together. And you know what we did? We talked to him. Together. Forcefully. And told him, you need to stop that nonsense right now. And he backed off. You know what the attack of the enemy does to the church? Well, it can do one of two things. You know what it should do? It should bind us together. You may talk about that person, that's fine. You may talk about all this other stuff that's going on. But when you mess with Jeremy, devil, you mess with Jeremy, you mess with all of us. Not to him you don't, devil. Because you know why? Because that's my brother. And you attack him, you attack me. Not to him you don't. Amen? And we fight this thing together. You don't fight alone. We fight this thing together. When he attacks you, he attacks me. And that's not okay. Somebody gets attacked with sickness. Somebody gets attacked with disappointment, or lack of finances. You know what it does? No. Not to my family, you don't. It's not going to break us apart. It's going to bind us together. My wife's church in St. Louis, one of the greatest things, this is crazy, I'm going to say it, one of the greatest things to ever happen to that church is that church got flooded in the St. Louis flood. That church is more powerful now. You know what they did? They bound together. They started a ministry that goes out and helps destruction relief all over the country. They're like, not to this church, you don't. Devil, you pop me in the mouth, right back at you. Amen? We're going to fight this thing together. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Say, I am.
Anointed.
To go about.
And do good.
And to heal.
All those.
Who are oppressed of the devil.
Especially.
In the household of faith.
In
Jesus'
name.
My prayer, and it's the same as Jesus, that we would all, Jesus said, I would pray that we would be one, even as Jesus and the Father are one. That's a tall order. Amen. There's so much to say about how much grace that's going to take for each one of us, for each other. Come on, just you and him. Right where you're at. God, we honor you. Right where you're at, with your head bowed and your eyes closed. By the way, Jesus wasn't bothered by babies, neither am I. Amen. Can I just say that out loud? What is your part? And maybe you say, I don't know. I don't know what that part is. Let me help you. We can all be kind. We can all be including. We can all not be super cliquish, that's so tight that we can't reach out to anybody else. We can be who God's called us to be. All I ask is this: when you walk in these doors every Sunday, know that it's not just about you. And maybe ask God when you walk in, God, do you have somebody for me to talk to today? God, show me, give me eyes to see with your eyes. Pray, God, use me. God, use me to be a blessing. God, we honor you this morning. We worship you. God, Jesus, as the pastor and as your under-shepherd, as it were, in this church, God, I just declare, Jesus, you are the head of the church. And you have full right to direct me and to direct us any way you would want us to go. Jesus, you are the head. Jesus, you love the church. Just like, God, you commanded husbands to love your wives, as you love this church. You love Hope Church. You love the worldwide church. But you love this church. God, we thank you. God, let us be who you've called us to be. A community of hope. God, for it all, we'll give you all the credit and all the glory. Because it belongs to you, because only you can do it. Worship you in Jesus' name. We just want to always give an opportunity for anybody who needs prayer. Listen, we always give this opportunity, and this is part of it. That you don't have to go through this alone. If you came in, listen, if you came in with a heavy heart this morning, and you say, wow, that message was really good about unity, but it's not really what I'm dealing with this morning. It's something I just need prayer this morning. This is what it's part of it's about, is having somebody pray with you and agree with you and link up with you. I believe in the prayer of agreement, that God moves. So if that's you, as we dismiss, just come down to the front. Just kind of come down over onto my left, your right. Just come down over here, and we have people that pray for you.